Hi, thank you for listening to the Print and Packaging Lab powered by PIA Mid-America. We are a regional trade association serving the printing and packaging industry. This is a Thrive episode, ongoing professional development for print and packaging teams. And now we'll move into today's session.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another America's Print Association Network Culture Briefs. These are benefits of your America's Print Association Network membership, and they happen on the first three Thursdays of every month. My name is Kelly Malazzi. So I'm here today to talk to you about another very important culture topic, which is all about what happens in companies when we avoid the hard things and try to make a nice guy culture. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen and bring up the presentation and we will get started. So these are designed to be nice and short, maybe 10 or 15 minutes long. This one I'm recording, so you're watching this not live because I'm doing another event for one of you this week. So again, we are talking about hard problems in soft cultures. We really want to center this conversation around the idea of honesty and transparency as it pertains to not only how we treat people, but how we think about outcomes and how we really want to build a world in which people are allowed to receive feedback, even if it could be construed as negative, because we're really trying to achieve fantastic outcomes, right? We're trying to achieve outcomes of delivering on time. We're trying to be profitable. We're trying to surprise and delight our customers. And we need people to help that, to help make that happen. And in a world where we are constantly trying to improve things and teach people new things, we need to create a culture where it is okay to help somebody realize that they have improvements to make. And this isn't about being nice, right? It's really about being honest and transparent. So a lot can happen when we try to be nice guys, right? Nice people. It can result in avoidant behavior. It can mean that we do not like conflict. We don't want argument. Nobody is giving each other feedback. And guess what happens? Problems get worse. The customers start to feel it. Nobody's improving because nobody wants to be the one to point out when there's a problem. So the end result of this is we tend to, whether we realize it or not, we are creating a world in which we protect underperformance. And then guess what happens? High performers start to feel resentful because when you have a percentage of your employees that are firing in all cylinders and doing everything they're supposed to be doing and getting it all done. But then there's other people that are kind of dragging everyone else down, or they're creating bottlenecks, or they're making mistakes consistently. Well, that's a huge problem, but it's also a problem for the high performers who think it's unfair and don't understand why there are different standards for different people, and that everything is just swept under the rug. So really think about that impact. Doing nothing might seem like it's the easy thing, but it's also creating problems. And it's not only creating problems for how you do things, but it's creating problems for your people as well. So we really want to think about how we define accountability. And so we really want to think about this equation. Accountability equals support plus standards, right? So we want to help people deliver on their commitments. We know that creating clarity reduces anxiety. When we are very clear about something, how it's done, what we expect, what is the best way to do this, that makes people feel safe. That makes people understand what is expected of them and how to do things. Because we might get into a situation where when we've been doing something for years or decades, it's ingrained in us, right? It's part of our DNA. But when we introduce somebody new to that process or that experience, they don't have that same language. They don't have that same lived experience. So there could be confusion over what does that mean? I don't understand. We need to make it safe for people to say when they don't understand something, and it can inform how we onboard people, how we train people, that we are very crystal clear in layman's terms about how things get done, what we expect, and what those ultimate outcomes are. Because that's really what we want to focus on, is what is the objective, Right. And don't assume that everybody knows what the objective is. You might not even know what the objective is. So we might center it around on-time delivery, or we might center it around just surprising and delighting our customers, amazing customer satisfaction. But it also could be that one of our core pillar outcomes is developing people, helping people achieve their full potential. If I could classify every single culture brief that I've done for the last year and a half, it is about creating an environment where every single member of your team is encouraged to achieve their full potential. That's really what we're trying to do here. So when we go about trying to get that clarity, especially in the aftermath of something going wrong, it's to be very careful with our language. So instead of, you know, addressing a behavior or, you know, dressing down a person for making a mistake, the question is, what went wrong here? What was missing from this? Why did this happen? What got in the way? Right. So when we can understand what got in the way of a decision that somebody made or a mistake that they made or a problem, it might uncover that there's additional training that is needed. Or maybe we need to open up that employee manual again and make some changes to accommodate what 2026 looks like. Maybe there are rules that are unwritten or assumed that everyone knows, but because they aren't documented, certain people don't know about them. So we really want to use these good questions like what got in the way to uncover the friction, to uncover the gaps, maybe in training or in how we advance people, how we develop people. So the whole lens of everything we are talking about here is in the name of process improvement and performance improvement. So when we frame it that way, everyone understands this is so we get better. This is not about punishment. It's not about humiliation. It's not about trying to suss out somebody who doesn't belong. It is really about making sure that the structure, the organization, and the leadership are all focused on making things better so that we can continue to focus on what we do best, which is printing gorgeous materials for our customers. So when we think about what these three pillars are of communication and of how we follow up on things and how we ensure that every member of our team is allowed to achieve their full potential, we want to think about consistency. And consistency means the same rules apply to everyone. Everyone is held to the same standard. I've worked in a lot of print shops in my life. I've seen a lot of playing favorites. And this is something that has no place in our companies today. It's understandable. It is part of human nature, but we have to hold everyone accountable to the same standard. So that's really, really important, that consistency in upholding policies, consistency in addressing problematic behaviors is the same for everyone. So the second thing we really want to make sure of is that we are being transparent. We are sharing what our goals are. We are sharing metrics and KPIs so that we can celebrate a week of no mistakes or a quarter of 100% on-time delivery. We want to share the why. We want to make sure everyone understands we are pointed in this direction because we want to grow this business by 12% next year. Everyone should know that. That's what transparency means. So we want to make sure that the reasons behind why we do things is serving the mission, right? It is pointing us at that horizon and saying, this is where we're going and this is how we're going to get there. Because again, I've worked in a lot of print shops and I've seen a lot of leaders who lead with, because I said so, right? It's kind of some daddy energy, as if we're a company, if we're a family and the CEO of the company is the dad. And so the dad says, this is the way it's going to be. And it's because I said so. Well, I mean, that's one way to go. But in 2026, a more inclusive world in which people are allowed to ask questions and where leadership says we want to share this information so everybody understands and can connect to that mission, that's a way to build a culture that everyone can thrive in. And so finally, we want to make sure that when there are consequences, we do this with compassion. We do not scream at people on the floor when they make a mistake. We are not out here to humiliate anybody. When we are focused on process and performance improvement, we provide feedback in a way that leaves room for a person's ego and a person's dignity. Because when we are empathetic, again, we can focus more on the results and the roles and less on the anger and the resentment and the frustration, right? So consistency, rules apply to everyone. Transparency, we share the why. And consequences with compassion, we do this kindly and we do it sometimes maybe privately, but we want to make sure that we maintain a person's dignity even in the face of a big problem or a big mistake. So the ways that we can do that to soften language is also the art in it is to not dilute the message, right? It is serious. There are processes in place for a reason and people need to follow them. But we need to, again, use the language and the mindset of focusing on impact so that people understand they are connected to something bigger. So we want to not focus on people's flaws, but on the effects. So imagine a world in which a person keeps packaging something incorrectly. Instead of saying, like, why do you keep messing this up? It's to say, when you package it that way, it makes it difficult for the customer to open it on their end and the product gets damaged when they use an X-Acto blade to cut that box open. So what we do is we load the box this way and then we place in a layer of material to protect it so that it doesn't get damaged when it opens. Kind, compassionate communication. So we definitely want to instill everyone with a sense of ownership about their behavior, about their work, and about those outcomes. So when there has been a situation in which something needed to be corrected, we then talk about what the expectation is for the future and who's responsible for it. So next time, right? So that you might find yourself saying something like, the next time this happens, this is how it's supposed to go. And this is who you're supposed to go to with very clear directives. Again, we want to do that reflective listening to make sure that the person has heard you and be specific, right? If there's any world in which you are concerned or the other person thinks that what you're saying is vague or confusing, let's stay with that conversation until we are sure that we have been heard in the correct way. So we're clarifying next steps. We are articulating who is responsible and we are checking for acceptance and understanding in a kind way. Again, remember, we are all about trying to preserve someone's dignity, but also remember that we are invested in retaining employees and we are invested in developing employees. So everything that we're talking about here is a bigger picture way to create a culture in which this is the focus, which is normalizing feedback, normalizing correcting behavior, not in a way that makes people dissolve because they can't handle criticism, but makes them understand that everything is in place so that people can reduce mistakes, turn in a stellar performance, and the end result is profitability, customer satisfaction, growth, and opportunity. Who wouldn't want to work in a place like that? That sounds fantastic. So when we embed all of this into our culture, we create a world in which it might feel a little bit more egalitarian. And that means that the accountability starts at the top and works all the way down, right? So when a leader, when a CEO, when a president can admit that they made a mistake and does that publicly, it makes it okay. People need to understand that everyone is human. Everyone makes mistakes. So again, back to that family analogy, I believe there were probably many generations where parents never apologized to their children, right? I am now parenting Gen Zs and Gen Alphas, and we have definitely much more of a democratic feel to our household than an authoritarian one, which is hard for me as a Gen X person. But as a leader, it is important for me to acknowledge when I've made mistakes and accept feedback, right? So some CEOs out there might feel very uncomfortable with an idea of a person several levels under them giving them feedback, and there's good information in that feedback. So when we normalize that two-way feedback, when we take away a little bit of the kind of dictatorship of it and make it a little more democratic, this empowers people. It makes idea sharing better, and it makes growth happen in ways maybe you could have never possibly imagined. But because you opened the aperture, because you opened your mind to feedback as a leader, you're learning, you're growing too. So again, the real key point here is bi-directional communication, bi-directional feedback, and a world in which we create that culture where everyone is allowed to share and observe and bring up ideas and try things in a safe place, in a safe way that doesn't impact profitability, it doesn't impact customer satisfaction, but it might improve processes. It might lead to deciding to go into new markets or try new products or services or do something in a different way. So we want to celebrate that honesty. We want to celebrate follow through. We want to celebrate people who stay focused. We want to celebrate and amplify problem solvers, people who are can-do people. Because when we solve for all of this, when we create this world in which people can be free to solve problems, can be free to voice their opinions, can be free to give and receive feedback safely, the culture wins. And that's really what we're talking about here, is we want to create the kind of culture where feedback becomes part of your company's DNA. It isn't something to fear. It isn't something that we don't do because we're afraid to hurt somebody's feelings. But the reframe is, we want to make you better. We want to make the company better. I want to make myself better as a leader, right? So when the culture shifts in those ways, it makes correcting things, and it makes sharing things, and it makes the permission and the safety to try new things, it makes for a more inclusive community, and it's a great retention tool, and it will be something that candidates can see with their own two eyes and feel. So when you're trying to grow your team because you have retirements on the horizon, a Gen Z person looks around and says, this looks like a place where I can thrive. I can feel it, right? So I hope this has been helpful. Thank you for being here.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Print and Packaging Lab podcast powered by PIA Mid-America. The full episode is a member-only benefit. Contact us to learn more about membership and for access to this and other content made for the printing and packaging industry. Get in touch by emailing us at info@piamidam.org.